This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites on Tuesday, the 12th of October. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio is the lovely Frida Liu.
Hello.
So on the show today, we are going to be talking about digital banks, digital banking.
Right.
Yeah.
Our question is, do you think Malaysian businesses are ready to use digital banks? Why or why not? Let us know. There is a poll happening on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, that's at BFM Radio. The options right now on Twitter is yes, let's go, not yet, but soon, not for a while, no, not at all. And of course, let us know also via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Now, we're talking about this because according to a report from EY, more than 70% of SMEs in Malaysia either maintained or increased the level of digitalization of their businesses over the past year. Now, the world of finance also experienced significant digitalization as well with the advent of digital banking. You know, we've heard this term being thrown about so much this year, right? Especially here in Malaysia. So what does this mean for the future of business banking? And how are SMEs going to evolve their approach to banking as they run their business as well? So in a move to open the door to digital banks, Bank Negara released the exposure draft on licensing framework for digital banks last December. And subsequent to the closure of the application period for the digital banking license in June this year, the central bank announced in July that it had received 29 applications for a maximum of 5 licenses, which may be issued to qualified applicants by the first half of next year. Now, this move is expected to accelerate the pace of innovation and capabilities of the Malaysian banking landscape, and it will benefit various stakeholders, in particular, those who are underserved and unserved. So these digital banks are also expected to promote affordable financial solutions to customers while safeguarding the integrity and stability of the financial system.
Established digital banks in other countries such as the UK, US, Hong Kong and Taiwan have shown that they are capable of differentiating their approach to banking by innovating and offering financial solutions that are targeted personalised and unique. Retail customers and micro, small and medium enterprises, for example, can benefit from the banking experience through convenient access in loan applications, bank account openings or micro investments that can now be executed within a few minutes through mobile applications.
Everything at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. But there's a big but here. These remarkable advancements come with a whole bunch of new security risks and threats that need to be addressed by service providers. This is to ensure a safe banking experience for all customers. Now, the Securities Commission Malaysia's 2020 annual report also highlighted the increasing cyber threats such as scams, phishing, you know, perpetrated by those who want to take advantage of the vulnerabilities arising from all the issues that we've had during this pandemic. The authorities then issued an advisory to all market participants to take necessary countermeasures against these threats of malicious activities, such as, you know, the creation of some of these activities include like the creation of fake websites and malware, right? So it highlighted that if these activities are left unmitigated, such as cyber-related risks, they may potentially cause significant business disruptions, loss of sensitive data, financial losses to investors as well, and of course, you know, that damage to your reputation, that's difficult, right? Now, with the bulk of cyber attacks and scams targeted at banking customers, it has become extremely important for the new digital banks to provide a safe environment for customers by strengthening their vigilance and exploring new approaches to build cyber resilience. Now, we say strengthening their vigilance as though we already have them, but you know, when they come in force, these things need to be like top of mind.
Right. And so on the service providers front, as digital threats and cyber attacks become the new normal, it's crucial for banks to ensure all employees are well trained so they can spot potential security risks much earlier and execute an emergency plan if the security is being compromised. Finally, periodic reminders need to be communicated to the customers to educate and share the relevant security procedures and best practices services to keep their accounts and information safe and secure. Because I know a lot of times, right, you may have the greatest firewalls or what have you there. Mm. The weakest link is always the employees and the customers, right? It's all us, you know.
It's always us.
Clicking on the wrong thing. Yeah, I'm saying because I've done it, right? Okay.
Now, here's the thing, right? At the top of the show, we mentioned how like more than 70% of businesses here in Malaysia, SMEs particularly, have been quick to digitalize over the course of this pandemic or even over the last year. But like, did this extend to how they did their banking as well? And I think it must have. You know, I have a feeling it must have. I can't say for sure, but most of the businesses that we have interviewed over the course of this pandemic have all spoken to us about how they're applying for grants, they're applying for loans, they are seeking financial assistance or just help from their banking partners online, and how it there has been a bit of a struggle doing that. But how that's what they've had to do, because you can't just walk into a bank and speak to someone in customer care, can you?
Right. So it's interesting, you know, like places like Hong Kong and Taiwan, you know, US, they're moving ahead, right? They're a little bit more. And I can also see like with these developing countries, I think they're really moving far ahead of us. The Vietnams and all that don't have the burden of legacy systems, right? So they can go digital immediately. Right. Because I mean, in that sense that they're so used to doing everything on their phone. Right. So I know the struggle with a lot of because Malaysia's fairly, you know, we fairly developed in the sense that we have these investments that they've made into the banking system. Right. And they can't let go, but they know they need to let go. So that's the infrastructure bit as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, is the regulatory movement moving fast enough to what is the reality of how everything is? So I think we're in that state of flux at the moment. But digital banking, that's the way to go. Otherwise, we can't be competitive.
Yeah, so that's why we are asking you today. Do you think Malaysian businesses are ready to use digital banks? Why or why not? Get in touch with us 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio.
Right. And so what's the situation with SMEs and how are they adjusting to those changes and updates within the banking space? We'll be speaking to Shankar Kanibaran, Malaysian Financial Services Consulting Leader at Ernst & Young Consulting after the song.
Yes. We have Chuck Berry for you with rock and roll music. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida and Audrey. And on the show today, we are talking about digital banking. Mm.
Do you think Malaysian businesses are ready to use digital banks? Why or why not? The poll on Twitter says, yes, let's go at 50.6%. Not yet, but soon, 30.3%. Not for a while at 13.5%. No, not at all at 5.6%.
Over on Instagram, maybe a younger crowd, I'm not so sure, but 72% say yes. Yes, and 28% say no. So they're more encouraged by our Malaysian businesses, you know, wanting to go online. Or maybe they've experienced more businesses, you know, doing their banking online as well. Now, before the break, we took a look at how the banking world has changed, you know, but how are SMEs shifting their banking approaches accordingly? Well, according to an SME banking research program by Ernst & Young Consulting, 73% of SMEs in Malaysia receive financial services via a traditional bank with branches, the highest rate among all the markets that were surveyed in this study, about 16 markets, and compared with the 65% average for those in Asia Pacific. By comparison, Hong Kong, another market in Asia Pacific, had the lowest rate of SMEs that receive financial services through a traditional bank with 50%.
Right. 54% of SMEs in Malaysia currently receive services from a fintech or an internet telephone-only bank, with 22% saying their main financial institution or MFI is a fintech or an internet-only bank. In fact, some markets in the region have the highest usage of fintechs as FIs in the world, with 28% of SMEs in Malaysia saying the bank with fintechs, followed by Hong Kong SMEs with 26% and 22% in Singapore. Only 14% of Australian SMEs receive financial services from fintech, the second lowest rate globally, behind only Canadian SMEs at 13%.
Right. So while SMEs overall satisfaction with their main financial institutions is high, according to 82% of respondents in Malaysia, 37% of them are inclined to switch offerings in line with the 36% global rate, but lower than the 41% average in Asia Pacific. SMEs in Vietnam, like you mentioned earlier, Indonesia and Hong Kong had the highest propensity for switching globally with 51, 49 and 48%. So all about like at the halfway mark, saying that they were likely or very likely to do it. The top organizations, SMEs in Malaysia, consider switching to include bank with branches, fintech companies, large corporations that traditionally provide non-financial products, and of course, big tech corporations.
Right. And these figures suggest a significant opportunity for fintech and big tech companies to further disrupt banking. In fact, the world's rapid digital transformation evoked both inspiration and excitement along with intimidation and anxiety. 57% of Malaysian SMEs are concerned about keeping up with digital advancements, keeping up with the Joneses. 35% of SMEs say insufficient IT is a major threat to their business.
I'm glad they recognize that.
Right? Yeah. 32% of SMEs say cybersecurity is a major challenge going forward as they feel vulnerable about their data security and business security. So it's clear that concerns from small businesses around the technology transformation pose an opportunity for banks to provide ancillary support services to help SMEs navigate their digital journey as well. So we're looking at a major shift in how banks can support SMEs and how SMEs will approach their digital and financial strategies.
Yeah, so, you know, Frida, we can talk about this, but maybe you should get the experts on, you know, to kind of shed some light on the advancements in SME banking. So we have on the line with us right now, Shankar Kanibaran, Malaysia Financial Services Consulting Lead at EY Consulting on the line. Shankar, thank you for joining us. Now, what are the main business banking services offerings or products that SMEs should look for or should try and prioritize?
In terms of the products that you should be considering for the SME segments around instant business loans, quick account opening, business credit card as well as providing value-added services offerings such as managing the accounting, invoicing and payroll management as well. Those are the kind of areas where we are seeing SMEs asking and looking for in terms of the services.
Right. In your opinion, do you think banks have been doing enough to support Malaysian SMEs through the pandemic?
I think there's always two sides to a coin. Clearly, there are always rooms for improvement. But historically, you know, you can look at the banking financial services industry. I mean, they've supported the growth of some of the successful SMEs of industries today. But of course, there are areas that could be further providing assistance in terms of some of the industries that today being, I think, kind of less served. Industries such as asset light industries, micro SMEs as well. So overall, I think in terms of the support, there's always been support for the qualified one. The question is, I suppose, looking at the underserved and unserved segment within the SMEs.
So according to the survey, 73% of SMEs in Malaysia receive financial services via a traditional bank with branches. Why do you think this is?
I think part of that is, one is clearly the trust. I think banks at the end of the day is about the business of trust, and the SMEs has very high trust with the brand name, with traditional banks as well. Second is also the close relationship of the relationship managers or the branch managers with the SME proprietors that help to, I guess, extend that relationship further. And third is the breadth of services that the traditional banks are providing with their branches as well. It creates the convenience for the SME to kind of utilize those facilities as well.
Now, you know, you mentioned trust, Shankar. Here's the thing. Only 22% of Malaysian SMEs said that their main financial institution is a fintech or an internet-only bank. So is this a trust issue, or are local fintech players just not seen as strong or stable enough to support SMEs?
This is a question of a coverage, and today the available service providers may not be there yet. But I think with the advent of the new digital banking license coming in 2022, I believe this is a number that will certainly go up, and that the trend is clearly that the SMEs will be more and more comfortable in terms of engaging the internet-only banks in terms of their future business needs.
What is the general perception of digital banking in Malaysia, actually?
I think in a survey that we did recently, I think 70% of the respondents in the consumer retail segment were clearly responding with the intention of clearly trying out digital banks and taking on their products as well. So I think in terms of that, I would say that in general, the perception from the Malaysian public is that they are very open and willing to try out new services and products from the digital bank.
To what extent do you think the accelerated digitalization of the pandemic contributed to a potential interest in digital banking or other fintech solutions?
I think the pandemic has clearly contributed the digitalization effort and also the interest in digital banking and fintech solutions as well. Clearly, if we look at prior to the pandemic, I think the acceptance and the willingness to use digital payments, for example, were not as high. And once the pandemic started with MCOs and so on, clearly there were not much choices apart from using digital payment either via e-commerce platforms or even small-time vendors starting to accept wallets, e-wallet payments and so on to aid their businesses as well. So I think clearly pandemic has shifted the mindset and opened up new avenues in terms of digitalization and the use of our digital technology as well.
Right. And what new or innovative offerings could banks, digital or otherwise, start to introduce in order to attract and retain SMEs?
One of the surveys that we did, clearly, I mean, when we asked the question to the SMEs, you know, what are the key criteria or important things for you? I think one of the main indicators that the SME highlighted was that I think what they are looking for is a faster turnaround time, do the brilliant basic, what we call as the brilliant basics, right? In a sense that when SME applying for lending products and so on, I think what they need and their value is the ability to turn around, because most of the time in our survey, when we ask them what's the use of that lending product, it's always around working capital or buying assets such as, you know, shop lots, machineries and so on. So I think that I think clearly is something that you know, banks that are able to look at that need and address that needs will help them be successful in attracting and retaining SME. The other is also the SMEs are also looking at, you know, now how could the banks assist them in growing their business, be it providing more insights in terms of their business or providing better coverage in terms of product, either being digital payments products, invoice financing and so on. So I think those are some of the areas, some of the ideas where banks could consider as well.
Right. Thank you for that, Shankar. That was Shankar Kanabiran, Malaysian Financial Services Consulting Leader at Ernst & Young Consulting. Now, Frida, I want to ask you a question. I know we're talking about SMEs and how if they're ready to get into digital banking, right, for business banking. But is there any reason why you would walk into a traditional bank branch,
right,
in this time and at this point in time?
No, actually nothing. I think like the only time is like, oh, we need to see your signature. So that part, like, I still have to physically go and show my IC, but I can't remember the last time I went to a bank to do something.
Maybe collect your ATM card or something like that. But even that can be sent to you.
Right.
You know, so I'm just wondering, I was just thinking about it and I understand how businesses may need to go to a traditional bank branch and maybe go talk about a business loan, you know, or like what Shankar mentioned earlier about, you know, you want to purchase a shop lot or you want like large financing assistant or something like that, right? But I'm just wondering what would the other cases be, and it would be just so much simpler to be able to apply for all these things online and maybe just go and do the last minute signatures and all the other stuff, you know, at the bank. But I'm really looking forward to these digital banks.
Right. And see the relevance. Okay, I'm just talking about our parents, right? Where they would wait in the bank and they'll queue in the bank. And that security, that it is something solid.
Yes.
Right? It is a bank. It is in a building. It is, so it's that mindset thing. And do we still need it moving forward? I don't know, right? I mean, so it's more that than actually do we need a physical bank, right? But you'll need a kiosk, you need an ATM machine. And then again, do you really need an ATM machine? Right? So whether that's necessary.
All right. We are asking you today if you think Malaysian businesses are ready to use digital banks. Why or why not? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we'll take a look at the poll numbers, which are, really neck and neck. And we'll also talk more about traditional versus digital banks. All that and more happening on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida and Audrey. On the show today, we are asking you,
do you think Malaysian businesses are ready to use digital banks? Why not? Let us know. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll look at the poll results later.
Yeah. Now, so from what we heard from Shankar Kanibiran of EI before EY. The break, EY before the break, it seems that Malaysian banks are starting to take notice of movements in the digital banking space. And it appears that digital banks are here, especially are focusing on financial wellness and digital money management, and traditional banks also want a slice of that pie. So there was this recent study by Forrester Consulting that was commissioned by a company called Backbase that said 64% of Malaysian retail banking decision makers said that their company is increasing spending on digital and engagement financial wellness initiatives. And interestingly, this is the highest figure in the Asia-Pacific region and right. more than our neighbours down south, Singapore, or even Japan and Australia.
Right. So the retail banking sector in the country appears to be gearing up for intense competition in the digital banking space. According to Forrester's research, the sector is seeking to address increased consumer demand for digital banking, especially for financial wellness and digital money management. Of the banking business decision makers interviewed, 90% that they were planning or actively expanding the digital money management tools. Additionally, 88% that they were planning to or actively expanding the financial wellness and digital money management tools, with almost half of them saying it was critical.
Yes. So, no, tellingly, the report found that more than 80% of users conduct their day-to-day banking via their smartphones. Right. Do you do this?
Yes.
Okay.
I still need my laptop somehow.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Now, additionally, 67% of consumers use their institution's existing mobile app, with 87% believing that an excellent mobile app is an attribute they value from their financial services provider. I am part of all those statistics. Mm-hmm. And so the company that commissioned this this piece of research by Forrester, right, Backbase, their regional VP in Asia Pacific, his name is Iman Godosi. He said this, and I quote, "The window of opportunity for banks to build out their digital offerings is right now. And the recent report revealed Malaysians have an insatiable appetite for digital offerings." He also feels that the next 6 months is going to be a critical inflection point within the Malaysian digital banking space. And he also said the urgency and focus behind this is clear. Malaysia has five of the hottest digital banks waiting to explode into the banking scene and take market share next year. And of course, this is why traditional banks are worried.
So according to Godosi, Malaysians are demanding better customer service and flexibility in financial services. Time is of the essence. They want to access personal finances anytime, anywhere, and through any channel. But unfortunately, existing tools by traditional banks aren't adequate enough to meet their needs. Now more than ever, it's important to own the relationship with your customer, he said. He said, we've entered the engagement banking era, and evolution that stresses a one unified platform approach to banking. The number one priority in this new era is to completely re-architect the bank around the customer, moving away from siloed technology investments.
I like that term, engagement banking era. So this report also shed light on how Malaysian banks are coping. Apparently, 74% of interviewees agreed that not being able to understand customer needs and outcomes are a barrier to their digitization efforts.
Right.
And unsurprisingly, 66% bemoaned legacy or outdated technologies, and more than 60% agreed that organizational silos impeded these efforts as well. Just one more part that I found interesting about what Godosi said. He said there's also a lack of understanding at legacy institutions in Malaysia on who owns the budget for these types of initiatives. You know, is it considered customer experience?
Right.
Is it corporate strategy? Or is it marketing? When, you know, in fact, it's all of these and more.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And you got to, you know, move away from the silos as it is, right? So Malaysian banks also increasingly leveraging technologies such as AI, data analytics, and mobile apps to recommend financial services to improve user engagement. Naturally, consumer digital trust in legacy banks is much higher than in their newer digital counterparts, as I said, you know, our father, right? In the bank, you know. paying a bill. Godossi added, so the research points to digital money management apps being the primary interface between institutions and the customers as we move into the future. Consumer demand and industry sentiment show that we are only at the start of the journey. According to Backbase, spending analysis, bill payment scheduling, advanced pay and income smoothing, automated savings retirement planning tools are some of the digital features that Malaysian banks can implement to meet consumer needs. The competition is going to get fierce in Malaysia, and that means the most important party, the consumer, will benefit long term. Time and market forces will tell which players will be the winners in the war of our engagement in banking.
The era of engagement banking. Right. That was the term, right?
Yes.
Right.
So engage, and that's, you know, so I want to be able to just go to one app and everything is done. My bill is paid. Da, da, da.
But that's just us as consumers. Imagine what it would be like for businesses. You know, the kind of the things that Backbase mentioned, right? Or Godossi mentioned, income smoothing, automated savings, okay, fine.
Right.
Retirement planning tools, all of that, you know, and you can schedule your bill payments, you know, you can also kind of automate your staff payments, you know, for, you know, claims and things like that. Being able to do all of that, you know, on one platform.
And, you know, so you were saying that there are a couple that's coming next year, right? Yes. I can just imagine this app that this app that we're currently using a lot, that I use a lot, gets a license to be a bank, right? And you can do your groceries and food there too.
Yeah. Well, you know, according to Backbase, we are on the brink of some exciting new products and experiences in this era of engagement banking. All that's going to happen over the next 6 months or so. So, you know, we'll be sure to update you on the latest. Of course, you know, Tech Talk will have all of this down to the T. But in the meantime, just to wrap up the show today, we are asking you if you think Malaysian businesses are ready to use digital banks.
Yes, let's go. 51.1%. Not yet, but soon, 29.3%. Not for a while, 14.1%. And no, not at all, at 5.4%.
Over on Instagram, 75% say yes, 25% say no, we are not ready. And I have, just one quick message to read here from PDX3156. It says, I reckon very few transactions still require brick and mortar banks. Yeah, you know, but you know, as a business, there may still be quite a few reasons why you would need to go and visit a traditional
bank. We should have asked the question, when was the last time you went to a bank?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
6 months, a year, cannot remember.
But this is an ongoing issue, Frida. Right? I mean, we're going to be talking more about this and we'll, you know, KIV that one for our friends online to participate in the show. Of course, if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website, bfm.my. Also, our app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Frida and myself will be back again same time tomorrow for more interesting bites on Enterprise Biz Bites. But coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. Don't go anywhere because it's the Breakfast Grill replay. And this morning, Shaoning spoke to former youth and sports minister Syed Saddiq. He returned to the Breakfast Grill after a year. You know, this is where he broke the news about
Starting MUDA,
right? Registering MUDA as a political party. And so Shaoning caught up with him on the developments of his party, the implementation of the youth vote, and what he'd like to see in Budget 2022. All that and more happening after the 1 p.m. news bulletin on the Breakfast Grill replay. But taking us out of the show right now, we have Ocean Colour Scene with 100 Mile High City. See you again on Enterprise Biz Bites tomorrow, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.